Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hi. I had an opportunity to turn like, oh, hello there. I didn't see you. But I didn't want to do that because this isn't a Kickstarter video.
That's true.
It's true. Although, wouldn't it be cool if it was? That would be cool. That would be very exciting at all. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay.
Just okay? Why? What's going on? It's Wednesday.
I'm a whole lot better than I was last Wednesday, let me tell you. Oh my god, the ladies' night hangover was real.
Yeah, we mentioned it at the start of the show, and we just wanted to send all of our heartfelt get well wishes and water and Gatorade and anything else that you like. What is it, Rags? Like just a Rag in a glass?
Oh my god, I don't think I would have been able to keep that down.
isn't that what, like, oh, that's what Rocky does. That's not a hangover, that's like I'm going to run some steps real quick.
Yeah, that's like a protein build up muscle thing. But yeah, oh man, I died way too much in the men versus ladies challenge, which was really fun. We had a really, really good time playing. We played with Garrett, Dill, Scott, John, and Bo, and we had a really, really good time. We had some fun, crazy rules, but the ladies' night rule is that when you die, you have to drink, and I died way, way, way too much.
were any of the men doing that rule, or were they just being wimps? Is that what was happening?
Well, no, we had separate set of rules. So we always have one set of rules for ladies' night. And then so when we invited them in, we had stupid things like you can't move unless you're mounted. You can't have any more than three people out at one time. And so they were playing by their own set of crazy rules. But when we play on ladies' night, if you sub or donate to the Joss Plays Twitch channel, then you get to choose who plays what. So there were a couple of donations from a jerk who will remain nameless, Josh.
Oh.
But making me play ridiculous characters that I'd never played before. So there was some Abathur play. There was, nice. I'm trying to remember what the other one was that he made me play. He literally texted Garrett and was like, what do you want to do? I'm going to sabotage Josh. So, yeah.
Nice.
Grr.
Well, it's interesting. At least now you kind of know that you never want to play Abathur again. Because sometimes when you buy or get a free access to a hero, oh man, you just kind of never want to touch it. So Abathur's no fun. Abathur's the guy who like hangs out in the...
Abathur's really cool. He's kind of fun, but it's one of those things where I'm just like, he's really, really complicated. And when you're in the middle of like a fun kind of competitive type event, it's like, that's not the time to be trying new heroes.
Yeah, especially when every time you die, because we all know when you try a new hero, like, your chances of death just escalate.
Yes, so. Skyrockets. So, yeah, I had a couple new heroes. I had, there was a lot of drinking. A couple of bottles of wine later, and my Wednesday last week was just not happening.
Yeah, but last night there was no casualties, you guys were fine, no crazy, like, drinking rules or whatever.
Well, we always have the crazy drinking rule. That's what makes the stream entertaining. Yeah. You don't get the crazy quotes that we do without having some drinking rules. But I was able to play my Diablo, so I didn't drink as much. I only made it through one bottle of wine, which is pretty par for the course ladies' night. So I'm feeling pretty okay today. But yeah, last week was... Thank you very much, Deventigo, for subbing in.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, that's he did a fine job. We talked about the Division, and you know, now we don't have to play the Division because we got it covered. We got Vent on the scene, so it's all good. Thank you, Vent.
So that brings us to what we're playing this week. Ryan, what have you been playing? Because I know we've both played the same thing, so I think I want to leave that until last. But you've got a couple other things here in the notes.
So our long-standing national, universal issue has been solved. I have finished The Witcher 3.
I am so proud of you.
I wish we had sound drops, because that would have been the perfect time for either a boo or like a clapping sound. maybe I'll sub that in later if I remember. But I did finally finish The Witcher, and I did text Val like pretty much right away to be like, I beat it. Here's a blurry shot of the credits. Because I was so excited, I didn't want to like screen grab or whatever. But I did finish it, and I think from now on I'm gonna try to stay away from open world games because it kind of like devoured what little free time I had. Because Witcher 3 was just this such expansive game, and I wanted to beat it, and I'm glad I beat it. I got quote unquote the good ending, which I don't know why it's quote unquote. It is the good ending. There's like literally a bad ending that if you played 100 hours and got that bad ending, you would probably delete the game. Like,
really?
I don't understand the concept of it. It's not even like the, it's not even like a bad positive ending. Like you were playing an evil character and you got the evil ending, which would be you're out to get that ending. But the bad ending is literally like negative. Like it's a negative ending, and it's kind of sad. And all it really was is that you had to make these choices as you go, and some of them were pretty mundane. Like the main character, Geralt or Geralt as we call him, he kind of interacts. You find Ciri. Spoiler alert! I mean, you probably knew that. Find Ciri, and there's some interactions near the end of the game where you can be more negative towards her or be more positive, and depending on which choices you make, encourages her to do something at the end, whether it's a failure or a success. And it's really weird. Like sometimes you wouldn't think like those positive or negative things would impact an ending, but it's really like your impact on the final character or on Ciri that creates the ending, right? But if you
want, is there any sort of like relationship like meter or anything anywhere that tells you
no,
yay, you're doing well, or no, you're doing poor, she hates your guts?
Well, no, there isn't really. It's kind of like a behind-the-scenes thing, and unless you're looking at a guide that says, like, okay, this is a key choice, and there's about five of them, and unless you pick this one or that one, you're conflicting your ending. And I think it's you needed five positive choices to get one of the positive endings, which involved going to see the Emperor. And I'm trying not to spoil it, even though the game is a year old, but it's just interesting the way they handled it. Because with Mass Effect, you had the push one of three buttons to end the game. And then in this one, it's kind of the complete opposite, where they're giving you, it's using all these choices to impact the ending in, I think they said there's like 36 different endings, but really there's three key endings and then like a bunch of variations on those, which are basically just like weird, you know, the Diablo cutscenes where they're kind of like ink drawn ones.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. And with narration, which are very cool to see what happens to your characters after the game. It's sort of like when a movie ends and you see like, oh, what happened to those characters after the 2 hour runtime, you know, like 5 years later, Geralt went to an inn and stayed there forever because he's retired until Witcher 4, in which we will probably take him out of that tub. Because he ends in a tub, and I'm pretty sure he stays there for the rest of it. He's the chick in the bucket for those film sack fans. But no, one example is, I know you like to, you see an immediate danger and you want to rush to it because that's kind of how saving people works, you know, when time is of the essence. And there's this instance where at the very end of this mission, Ciri's kind of depressed and you're trying to cheer her up and you have a couple options to go to tell her to suck it up, or you can have a snowball fight. So like, how would you know which one to choose, and how would you know they like impact your ending? Like you wouldn't know that unless you're looking at a guide.
Yeah, that's like a really what would seem like a nothing choice. Like, stop being a little bitch, smack. Yeah. Jocelyn gets bad ending.
and depending on how you're playing Geralt, you kind of look at how you're treating Ciri and thinking like, well, do I be the parent that kind of, you know, reinforces her behavior, or do you like nip it in the bud and say, no, like we need to keep you safe or else the world ends? And there are specific instances of her wanting to go off on her own when, as we've all learned from The Walking Dead, like you do not go out on your own. You stay within the walls and stay safe, because if you go out there and get captured, the world ends. Kind of like, don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So there are multiple instances where Ciri will go off and, you know, it gives you a positive ending if you support that, which to me doesn't seem like something you should do, right?
Yeah.
But long story short, like I'm glad it's finished. It was a big game. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I'm really looking forward to Quantum Break, which just seems like a new AAA title that isn't open world, and we need more of those. It's kind of weird, like thinking you would go the other way and say, oh, we need more big expansive worlds, because we had the hardware.
There was a huge swing, though. I mean, there was a few years ago where everything was very linear, and you had a story you had to work through, A, B, C, D. And now everything is open world, even the stuff that used to be like ABC Story.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think it's the pendulum's kind of swinging back the other way now, where people are just like, well, you know what? We can create visually large worlds without creating 150-hour time sinks.
Yeah, and I'm hoping Zelda's like that, where it feels like a big game, but really it is narrower than it appears to be. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to spend, as much as I want to spend 150 hours in the next Zelda game, I kind of want to beat it. You know, and I know there are people out there, it's like, well, I have 150 hours to spare and play on this game. It's like, well, I don't know, maybe it's selfish of us to say that we want more narrow linear games, but I do remember, you know, not too long ago when it was like, man, it's so great that The Witcher 3 is open world. It's so great that Fallout is open world. Like, it kind of feels like I'm regretting that choice, you know, because there's just so many games out now that you literally, to finish Witcher 3, like, I had to play an iOS game free to play and like mm-hmm. the second episode of Michonne just to have something of note to talk about on the show, right? So that kind of shows
how
where
I
my
feel
time's been.
With Warcraft as mm. well. Like I finished leveling my paladin, so it's level 100 now. I don't know how to heal at all. I tried doing the proving grounds and I totally shit the bed. It was awful. So
no.
I just want to go back to my hunter and just go back to damage. But anyways, I always feel like I've spent so much time in Blizzard games that I'm always like, oh my God, like, what am I going to talk about this week? What am I going to play? Like, I need some sort of like something to throw in here. And yeah, those big expansive, there's too much to do titles. Just usually don't make the cut.
Yeah.
Damn you, Blizzard, for making fun experiences.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like with World of Warcraft, when Legion comes out, I think it'll be the same story for me as it was with The Witcher. That's what I'll be playing, this big open world that takes tens of hours to finish, mm-hmm. Just the main content, right? And then that doesn't even include like raiding and grinding and PvP, because that's going to be a big thing for this new expansion. And mm-hmm. It's weird, like it's not a problem per se, but it is a problem when you do want to try other things, and when someone comes to you and says like, oh man, you have to try X game, and you're like, well, is it a 2-hour small indie title that I can like knock out on a Tuesday afternoon? And mm-hmm. no, it's Far Cry Primal, and it's a giant open yeah. world with in the Stone Age. It's like, well, great, I probably can't play, I can play like an hour of it, but
yeah,
you know, not the whole thing. Yeah, I'm done with Witcher. I purchased the DLC, and I started to play it, but I was kind of like, you know what? I think I'm just going to shelve this one for a little bit and come back to it.
Yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to doing at a later date. Like, please just let's do something else for a bit.
So speaking of doing something else for a bit, mm-hmm. did you talk about this game last week?
I did, but I did spoiler free because I wanted to see if you would enjoy it and maybe we could spoil it. But
okay,
I want to know what you thought.
If you want to spoil it, go ahead. I'm mm-hmm. going to warn you. I only played about an hour, so I'm definitely not at the end.
You're about halfway. It's a short game.
I was so confused and literally looking, because you're my only Steam friend that actually owns this. We're talking about Pony Island. If mm-hmm. you guys are a little bit confused right now, so we're talking about Pony Island, and it says you've played 6 hours, and I was like, I cannot play this game for 6 hours. It is one giant, like, mind F.
So I will correct, I will just say, not correct you, I did play 6 hours, but I will say that those 6 hours were 3 hours-ish, like, beating the game, and then another 3 hours of, like, having it sit there. I think I stepped away to have dinner at one point and I was at a point where I couldn't pause it, so I had to leave it running, and my character just kept dying over and over. But I did go back and like find all the tickets to get like the secret ending, so that's probably why it's 6 hours. But the main campaign takes about 2 hours. You get through it pretty quickly, so I would say you're about halfway, and there's acts, there's like 3 acts I think, and they're pretty noticeable splits. So how far did you get?
I beat the second like iteration of like the game of Pony Island. So the first one, you have your pony and you just have to jump over stuff, and then you get the laser eyes, and so I got the laser eyes and I beat that, and that's kind of where I am, and I feel like I got stuck.
Hmm. So where did you remember.
Oh, I'm currently, there's like three core files or something that the mysterious messenger guy tells you about at the beginning.
Right.
And I just found, like, the first one, I guess. So I was at a puzzle where there's, like, the guardian or whatever that you have to defeat. And so I'm at the last lock.
Okay.
Versus the guardian is where I am. And so that's the one I got stuck on.
Yeah, you're sort of at a point where... I'm trying to remember now. Like, I think... Yeah, I'm trying to remember the progression. So you've finished...
Let's say it's really confusing. And for me... between the visuals and, like, the audio, like, the music, I didn't find it a pleasant game to play. I found it really, really difficult to actually sit down and play it, because I was just like, oh my god, I can't take this. Like, it's almost like there's blue and red and white, and the blue and red is, like, just a little bit off of the white, so it's almost like when you look at 3D stuff,
yeah,
with like old 3D that had red and blue, but without the glasses.
Yeah,
so it strained my eyes. I found it really, really difficult to play, and it's like almost like a broken arcade game. So there's parts of it that are really, like, static or like shaky or like just a little bit off and jittery. And I'm like, I understand the art style. And I like it. I think it was a cool design decision. But I don't know. For something about the visuals, just it gave me a headache. And yeah. I want to try, and I really want to. But I'm like, I can't sit and look at this puzzle to try to solve it. And I don't know if that was a decision that they made to kind of, like, up the difficulty or something. Like, because the puzzles themselves, especially compared to The Witness, I find the puzzles themselves so far, anyways, have been very straightforward, very simple. I didn't have any big problems trying to solve them. But then, yeah, I hit this one, and I was just like, I can't look at this game anymore. Did you have, like, any kind of a similar experience?
I can't remember if I was trying to beat it. Yeah, I was playing it the day we were going to record, and I kind of wanted to get it done and discuss it with Vent, who had watched some videos and basically watched a let's play of the game, because it is very short if you power through it. And I powered through it, and yeah, like, there are some visual quirks that I think work well within the glitchiness of the story and what's going on in this arcade. And basically it's like an arcade from hell, where as if hell was a broken arcade or arcade game or whatever. And yeah, the visuals can be a little wonky, and they get better then worse again, because they throw away that wonkiness at a certain point and then go back to it as sort of the arcade, like, builds itself up as this new game, and then you bring it crashing down, which is what you're doing in those, like, programming puzzles, which I thought were really cool. As a programmer, it kind of reminded me of, like, high school program, when they start teaching you, it's like, okay, like, here's a go-to, and here's a loop, and here's an if statement, and, like, variables and stuff, and it gets more complicated as you go, and where you stop just putting the pieces in place, you actually have to break the program as it's running, which is a really cool sort of touch that they don't, like, similar to Witness, they don't actually tell you, like, oh, you can actually stop the program, rearrange your pieces, and then start it up again right where it crashed, which is really cool. But they don't tell you that.
This is the other thing too, is they don't tell you anything. It's almost like an exploration game at the beginning, where you just kind of, like, start to try to do things over and over again to just get a different result, because, you know, like, there's got to be more to the game, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there are no instructions.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, when you start, you kind of, it helps to have an idea of what's going on. So when I started the game, I can't remember. I think it was Justin who had recommended it on the Patreon. He had suggested it, and then Vent had told me a little bit about it. So I had an idea going in, and that sort of kickstarts the game. And then once you get going, it sort of snowballs as you progress through the puzzles. And there are some points. There was a point near the end of the game where I got really sort of, like, I fell flat. Like, it's just like, I don't know if I want to keep playing. You know, I think it was a point in which they quote, like, go open world, like Pony Island open world, and it's just, like, a character walking on a map, and you sort of just wander. You can get lost, and it's really kind of, curious, and it's a great broken video game, but like playing broken video games, or at least a simulation of them, isn't very fun.
Yeah,
the puzzles were very fun in that game, but there are certain points in the game where they take the I don't know, story and apply it too harshly to the world, right? But yeah, no, I did fall flat a couple times in that game, but there are certain moments that keep you going, I guess. Like, there isn't really like a story to be told unless you're like really interested in what's happening. Like, you know, you're a soul trapped and you're trying to escape. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just really like the puzzles, and I wish there was more of those puzzles and less of the extra stuff. Yeah, like the Pony Island stuff. There was some moments where they kind of had too much of it. Like that to me was like an endless runner that you'd play on iOS for free to watch ads or something. Mm-hmm. And then in the game, it just, that's not what kept me coming back. It was like the story and the progression and the puzzles. I don't know. Did you like sort of the jumping and the way it sort of progressed?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's clearly not the, like, mm-hmm. the game. you're not actually there to play Pony Island. I found what was a little bit frustrating was, like, there was a point where you had to, like, beat it, like, three times in order to make something different happen. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, I beat it the first time, and I was like, okay, like, nothing happened. So I looked, like, all over the place everywhere. I clicked on everything and moved my mouse all around all the edges of everything, and I couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, well, the only thing I can do right now is play Pony Island again. And then I did, and then I beat it again. And I was like, okay, so I still, like, nothing's happening. Right. And then I went through everything all over again and still couldn't do anything. So I went back into Pony Island again and then beat it. And then something new happened. And I was just like, why would you make me do that three times in a row? Like, that's, yeah. It was not that part almost made me walk away, because I was just like, well, clearly I'm missing something. And it was only because I knew we were going to be talking about it tonight that I was like, well, I should, you know, it's a puzzler. Maybe I'm just missing something or something. So,
it's the weakest part of the game. The other stuff helps, like knowing that, okay, once I finish, there's a specific moment that I can remember where it was a bunch of those levels string together and you had to, and you could see the progression, like, when you finished one. The other ones where you were kind of narrated through it, I was fine with that. But there was this one where it's, like, adventure mode, and you have to go along the lines and finish all the levels. Like, that's a point where I realized, like, oh, I'm going to be doing a lot of this for a while. And there wasn't enough of the puzzly stuff in between that... Again, that was a moment where it started to drag. But as an overall experience, like, finishing the thing, it's just... It was so incredibly unique and short, which was nice in comparison to other things I've been playing. And that to me was really important, but it was something I mentioned last week. There was just some moments that could throw you off the game pretty quickly. And for such a short game, it's like, you know, I think I've experienced enough knowing it's that short. But I think seeing it through to the end is really cool. In the way it ends, it's not like this monumentous thing, but it's still cool to see it through as to... in terms of your task of saving these souls stuck in an arcade machine. It's really neat. And not much of that is spoilery. Like, the fact that we hated the same thing about it, like, is probably a lot of people's reasons that they hated in the game. And it's, like you said, certainly not the main part of the game, but you have to get through it, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, I enjoyed the puzzle. I enjoyed the puzzles, and I mean, when you first go in there, it's literally like a game about unicorns and jumping, and you know, like it's kind of cute and fun, and then obviously possessed / devil like or whatever, and it gets pretty interesting pretty quickly, and the puzzles are great. It just, like, for me, that visual effect, I couldn't sit and play it anymore. So. I'm looking forward to maybe potentially, like, I'm wondering if I watch somebody play it, maybe that might be a better thing for me. Like, maybe not full screen, like, not, I don't know. 'Cause it's one of those things where it's like, there should be like an epilepsy warning at the beginning. 'Cause like, it was just so bad. And I'm not usually sensitive to that kind of stuff in gaming. Like, Portal doesn't bug me. I don't get motion sickness. Like, I've played all kinds of other stuff, like adventures, RPGs, shooters, everything. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, this kind of dual image, shaky, blinky thing was just, yeah, no good.
It was weird. It's an odd style of choice, and I think it's based on the fact that the portals that you can open up to break the game have that red, white, and blue look, but they're not the blurry kind. They're more like they look like a portal that you're going through, and those are really neat in the way they hide those around for the extra stuff is really cool to access extra puzzles, which is really neat. But the art style is really weird, and again, if someone were to be sensitive to that type of stuff in video games, like, this is one to stay away from.
Yes.
Because it gets worse. And there are portions of the game where they reboot the game, and then it goes into this colorful art style, like the screenshots you see in Steam. But then as you're breaking the game, it breaks back down and has like a mesh of that, which would be even worse, you know?
Yeah.
YouTube videos might get you to the point where it's like, okay, like I've experienced this game now, like giving it a shot, like playing those puzzles is the best part of those puzzles. And, it sounds like you've played the best part of the game, right? But it does keep going. I think you got like another hour after you destroy the core files, but yeah. It's a solid experience for sure.
Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to remind everyone that this episode of The Gamers Inn is brought to you by the Black Desert Online Guild called Knights Templar, who are recruiting. And Ryan, I think I'm going to let you do this because I haven't actually heard you do a read yet. So
it's true.
Well, I
did a read last week. I didn't make Vent do it. So made up of a group of fun, active players who focus on teamwork. There are players all over the U.S. and Australia, so it's always easy to find other members to group with, which is fantastic in an MMO. That's what I get for going off script.
Yep.
it's dangerous to go alone, so make sure you find out about this guild and all it has to offer at KnightsTemplarGuild.com. And we had a question in the Discord as to which server they were on. So if you're interested in joining the guild, the server is Orwyn Balanos 2. It's all the information's on their website, but we did give away a 7-day code last week, and hopefully that person's enjoying it. And I'm going to check it out for next week as well. I have a 7-day code, so I'm going to jump in, see what this game is all about. But they are recruiting. They are looking for more players. And from what I hear, it's a pretty solid MMO, Black Desert Online. Check it out.
So again, that is KnightsTemplarGuild.com. Thank you very much for your support of The Gamers Inn, and I hope a lot of our listeners go over and join your guild. That brings us to our topic of the week this week, which actually we kind of have two. One is an announcement, CreateCon, which is the AMoveCon that we are doing, is actually happening. Yeah. It's going to be July 30th from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. It is in Orlando, Florida. All the information can be found at createconvention.net or amove.tv/createcon. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be there. Ryan's hopefully going to be there. We are going to do a live Gamers Inn of some kind.
Yeah.
So it might just be me talking to myself. Who knows? But
there might be talk of general video games that aren't Hearthstone and Into the Nexus. Those will be reserved for other shows. But yeah, that will be exciting. And not only that, the Night Attack guys are going to be there. And the Hearthcast peeps will be there, which is pretty cool. So lots of good stuff.
I'm trying to click the link in the show notes. There we go.
It's not working.
Links.
There's lots of good information. It's still pretty basic, but there is a group rate for those wanting to visit the sweet town of Orlando, Florida. I think the group rate's like $150 US a night.
I think something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and tickets are on sale now, and I think there's 150 spots, so tickets are going to go quick.
Yeah, we're keeping it pretty small, and we're keeping it to one day because we thought, you know, like it's basically just an excuse to get everybody together and hang out and do some cool shows. Since we're actually not doing a Nerdtacular this year, we thought this would be like a good, you know, something for people to do in the summer. New venues, so we're not going to Utah, we're going to be down in Florida.
I'm not going to see them damn new mountains.
Experience, something to do. And it's going to be great. There's, like you mentioned, Night Attack. I know Dills and Garrett are going to be there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Garrett's organizing it. But there's going to be all kinds of, not necessarily workshops, but I guess like panels on, you know, podcasting and entrepreneurship and kind of all the things, because everyone who's going to be going on the producer side of things, we're all kind of doing this for ourselves full time now. So there's going to be lots of panels about like tips and tricks and insider stuff and just a lot of really, really good information on top of all the normal podcasts we do, like ITN, Angry Chicken, Gamers In, Night Attack. All those will be there as well. But there's going to be a lot of information that you don't necessarily get all in one place. So if you are in the Orlando area or if you're interested in traveling, I highly recommend it. It's going to be a really, really, really great con. So again, that is amove.tv/createcon or createconvention.net. to get all the information. I think we're selling tickets through Eventbrite, so look for those links and yeah, get on it.
Yeah, and there's like what, general and VIP, although VIP, yes. I haven't checked if they're sold out yet, but basically reserve your front seat, right? Is that how they're doing it?
Yeah, it's basically reserve seating. So I think it's like the front two rows are going to be VIP seating. So if you if you're like me and you hate mornings and you really just want to roll out of bed and go straight to the con, then yeah, VIP seating might be a good idea.
Oh, it also says lunch, meet and greet. So you'll get to eat lunch with the hosts that you might even get to eat lunch with me. We will see. I know that you might want to wait and see if I'm going to be there. That's fine, but no, I'm just joking. There's going to be lots of folks that are going to be there that are going to be awesome to listen to, especially like the business side of things, like with what Angry Chicken and Into the Nexus have done and Night Attack as well. It's going to be a lot of great information that you're going to want. And I don't know if there's any like an owner tackler is like, oh, I can't make it. Like, I'll be able to catch it online. I don't know if there's that stuff in planning stages yet, but you might want to have to be there.
I believe we're going to record it, but I don't think there's going to be any kind of video, and it definitely won't be live. So it might be a kind of like month later archive type of a thing. I'm not sure. I'll have to talk to Garrett and see what he's planning. But definitely the best place to get all that information is going to be actually at CreateCon. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. And I love to travel. I haven't traveled since like BlizzCon. So I'm itching to actually get out there and go somewhere.
Yeah. And did we say the date? Like it's July 30th.
July 30th. Yes.
So. Which is like prime time, hot in the sun, Florida. So you're going to want to be inside.
Exactly.
I'm told there's air conditioning. So if you're in Florida, you're going to want to get inside at CreateCon so you can be cold and learn all this great stuff about video games, podcasting, and the business surrounding it. So
yeah,
it's going to be exciting.
So our actual topic of the week this week is Buttgate 2016.
Batman versus Superman, right? That's what we're talking about? That's less controversial than this.
Yes. So basically what happened was Blizzard is making Overwatch. I'm sure you guys are aware because we talk about it all the time on the show. Mm-hmm. It's a first-person shooter, kind of like Team Fortress 2. And there is a character, and she's kind of become their like flagship character. She's like, they have the only collectible statue that you can get is of this character, and she's kind of all over their marketing. She's just a very, very prominent figure when it comes to Overwatch. And so this character's Tracer, and her powers basically are, you know, like doing the whole time travel-y kind of thing. So she can like zip forward through time and then rewind backward through time. And she's a really, really fun, cool character to play. And in Overwatch, there are unlockable things. So these are kind of cosmetic things like skins and voice things. So you can unlock different like catchphrases almost. And you can unlock victory poses, and these are basically when your team wins, it displays all six characters and with your name above, and they're in different poses. So there's a default pose, and then there's ones that you can unlock, and one of Tracer's poses was an over the shoulder pose. And actually I kind of wish that I thought ahead and actually got like a visual picture for you guys, but basically it's very butt heavy.
There's some butt.
There is a wedgie the size of, I don't even know. It's just itchy. The Grand Canyon? Does that work?
It's just, it looks really uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know if anybody really thought that far ahead when they it's interesting. And this, I was off Twitter this, as I am most days now, like just I at the end of the day I'll sort of pop back in, see what happened from my normal people I follow, and this was one of them that kind of was all over the place. That I think it was maybe Tuesday, when Monday, I think.
Monday, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone was talking about it, and everybody had opinions from yay Blizzard to nay Blizzard. It was all over the place. Like, mm-hmm. No one could agree that what happened was a good thing or a bad thing, both before and after the updates that happened. So
yeah, so basically what happened was Tracer has this over-the-shoulder pose, and mm-hmm. we should say that Tracer's not the only one that has this over-the-shoulder pose, and the over-the-shoulder pose, it's not even exclusive just to the female characters. Blizzard has actually been praised kind of across the map for the diversity that they're showing in characters. They've got, you know, characters of color. They've got men, women, skinny, fat, sexy, not sexy, on both sides. Like, yep. The characters in this game are, there are robots.
Yeah.
So let's not forget the robots.
Can robots be sexy?
Yeah.
It's a question. I'm curious. Like, it's not rhetorical. Please send your emails, info@gamersinpodcast.com.
So with this over-the-shoulder pose mm-hmm. on Tracer specifically, it's just, it's very accentuated because of the clothing that she's wearing.
Sure.
And I think what the original kind of poster, because what happened was somebody put a post on the forum that was largely praising Blizzard, but then saying, like, you've done this super awesome thing with all your diversity. And then there's the Tracer butt pose. And she's supposed to be this, like, fun, spunky kind of a character, and then all of a sudden it's sexy butt pose.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't fit. And this is actually kind of the part that made me giggle a little, because we should remember, Overwatch is a first-person shooter. You are killing people. Like, Tracer is a, like, trained killer. This is what she does. And this original poster doesn't have any problem with the violence whatsoever.
Sure.
She's saying, I don't want my daughter to play this game because of the sexy butt pose. I'm kind of like, it's a little.
I mean, yeah, and you know, depending on where in the world you are, some people put violence above butts, above boobs, above, you know, whatever. Like, sexuality is worse than shooting a guy in the face.
And, yeah.
Like, I can watch Daredevil and be like, yeah, we can recommend that to everyone because there isn't a boobie in sight, you know? But they're certainly shooting people in the face pretty graphically, you know, especially with this season. Spoilers. But I think when you look at this pose and... To be honest, I wasn't sure what to think when I heard about all this, because I jumped in at the very end. And first of all, I have a question. I'm not in the beta. I'm not bitter about it. I'm still not. I think at this point, I can move past that point. But I'm curious, like, with these victory poses, there's a shop where you can see them all, right?
Yes.
Can you, like, rotate the characters? Because I'm pretty sure she has a butt no matter what pose you pick.
I'm not actually sure what... like, if you can actually rotate the victory poses or not, like, to see, you can definitely rotate the skins. But I think the victory poses are just that, they're a pose, right?
Okay, so what, her butt is only pronounced in this pose? Like, if we spin, so if we spin Tracer around, like, she does not have her wedges hanging fresh. Like, is that, it just seems weird to me that they're latching onto the... Obviously, that's not the case, or they would be latching onto the character itself and saying, we need to wipe that crack off this game, you know? Like, I don't understand, like, if the issue is this specific pose, shouldn't the issue be, like, the way her character is built in the game? Like, artistically? Like,
But even then, like, there is a wide range of diversity in the characters,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, it seems like Blizzard has tried to appeal to everyone,
mm-hmm.
and they've almost failed, because, like, they have basically, like, one thing for everybody to get pissed off about. Instead of, like, if they just had all sexy female characters, they could just annoy one group and then that would be it. But because they've diversified so much, it's like people are just, like, picking it apart, you know?
Yeah, like, and you know what? It's fine. Like, if Tracer's wearing pants, then I don't wear skin-tight clothing. So I'm pretty sure a person's butt wouldn't do that if they were wearing, what did you, I think we had the discussion in Discord, like she's wearing leggings, like not body paint.
Yes.
Whereas if you look at Widowmaker,
very much like body paint.
Yeah. And then in this article, if you look down, like, and we're not going to overanalyze every character because that's mm-hmm. what we leave that to Reddit. you look at Widowmaker and like, she looks like she's got robotic, she's like a robot. She's got robot legs. So she can appear to be skin tight. Like, this is such a weird conversation. Why do we care? Like, I like, whatever. Like, this article sort of, like, I'm kind of upset at myself that I chose the Polygon article because they, like, go in depth about other butt cracks in the game, which I did not need to find out about. But it's just, they
so
removed
basically,
it. Like,
yes. Yeah, so basically what happened is they took the pose out because mm-hmm. they said that they wanted everyone who played the game to feel represented and heroic. And they didn't want anyone to basically be upset by anything in the game. And so they took the pose out. They had another pose ready, which makes me think, because there are so many heroes that have this like over the shoulder pose, that it's very much a placeholder. Because it has been removed on other characters before and replaced with something a little bit more interesting and dynamic and fitting of the character. So, I mean, this may not even have been a pose because we are still in beta. Mm-hmm. This may not have been a thing that was actually meant to go in the final game anyway, but Blizzard basically came out and said, we want everyone to feel heroic and represented and not offended. So we're just taking it out. And here's another one. So mm-hmm. That, I think, is kind of the bigger problem here. I don't really have a problem with the Tracer butt. I think it's a little bit weird because she has this like kind of spunky personality that, like, I don't really see her as a sexual character. Mm-hmm. I think Widowmaker is definitely their sexual character, and there's nothing wrong with that. I want to cosplay as her. She's fucking hot. Sorry.
I think we're allowed to swear. Like,
whoops.
We'll take that up at the con. Like, we'll figure that out. That'll be one of the panels. Can we swear on the show? Probably be easier to email Garrett, but it's just, you know, it's more fun this way. You're right.
Widowmaker is the sexy character. Like, I would expect to see that kind of a butt and that kind of a pose. I love every time I say butt, I'm like making a butt with my hands.
We're all giggling. Oh, yeah, that too. Just, what are you doing? Like the weird Justin Bieber heart thing?
No, like, but like cupping. I'm cupping an invisible butt.
I just...
Ryan can't see me right now.
So I know I can't, but I'm still, this is awkward. This
so
whole conversation,
the point
is
like,
really
I would
weird.
Expect that out of Widowmaker. And I think that mm-hmm. that's possibly why, it was even a controversy to begin with, is that like, you're getting a sexy thing out of a character that you don't see that way. Like, she's very, not necessarily childlike, but
she's like
definitely
your sister. Like,
she's like your little sister. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So it is a little weird, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of forcing views on other people, and I think mm-hmm. that because Blizzard's done such a good like a good job of kind of diversifying all of their characters in Overwatch, like I don't know. I feel like I almost wish they hadn't bowed to pressure, you know, like they should be able to make whatever the game is that they want to make. And they shouldn't be like, there are other characters in the game. If you don't like Tracer, don't play her, you know, like if you don't feel represented by Tracer or you don't like the way that Blizzard is displaying her, which again, like Blizzard created her. Who are you to say that that is an untracer-like pose? Who am I to say that it's an untracer-like pose?
But Jeff Kaplan's come out saying that it is not Tracer pose, right? Like it's something that they've been toying with over mm-hmm. the course, and this, you're right, it's a beta product, and we even joked about it being like this all being in beta, and I would think the victory poses would be the last thing they work on, because that's going to be their microtransactions after the game launches. I bet that's exactly what they're going to do. So it would be the last thing they work on, and if they created this pose for a lot of characters, which I gotta do a bit of a sidebar here, question: have you ever seen anybody do this in real life? Like that weird pose, besides a model who is trying to look sexy, right?
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It's hard to pull off. It's really, it's painful and twisty and...
Yeah,
and
it's just weird. I it's an optional victory pose, right? Like you don't even have to choose that victory pose, let alone play as Tracer. Mm-hmm. So it's even more optional than the other ones. It's odd to see Blizzard do this, but it's also great to see them kind of like, I don't know. It's just very confusing what's happening right now. There's a lot of butts on my screen. I'm going to close this article. It's just Widowmaker's distracting me. But it's just, I don't know. Like, do you think they have another issue crop up with this game like this? If they're going to be adding more skins and more, just more victory poses, like, are they going to have to now double check everything they do to make sure they don't offend everybody or offend Tracer fans? What if there's Widowmaker fans out there who's like, oh, this skin isn't sexy. You said Widowmaker was the sexy character. Like,
give me more booze and butt.
Yeah, like, if anything, that skin should, you know, it should stay within the character limits. Like, mm-hmm. I just think you start to give people, like, time and energy with these sort of complaints, and it's a valid complaint, you know, but what you do with that complaint kind of sets a precedence for everything else, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want video game creators to feel like they need to change their game based on the loudest complainers, I guess. Like,
right.
There's so many people that are totally fine with Tracer's butt pose. Like, completely, totally fine, because there's a ton of people playing this game, and it's taken until now for it to come out. So, like, one forum post apparently is enough to make Blizzard or change the game, and then that, I think, like you said, sets a precedent that I'm not really comfortable with.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, like, if this specific Tracer pose is going to stop people from playing this game, and they take it out, like, shouldn't they go down the list and say, well, Hanzo's butt pose, like, I don't want my son to think that's how all men's butts look like. And then you work your way down to Widowmaker's, like, well, you just need to cut her entirely, because, like, she's just basically a robot with paint, you know?
She's not a robot.
She looks like a robot. Oh, I guess she's not. It just looks like her legs are robotic, unless it's just another...
It's like an armor thing that she's wearing.
Which is also skin tight. I don't know how that works. Like, if it's armor, how can it be skin tight and, like, and move? I don't know. It's a video game, people. Like, that should be how we end this segment. It's a video game. And there's, you know, knowing these types of games and the way they add content to them, like, you look at Smite. If we got offended about everything that came out in Smite, we'd basically get offended every time they patch the damn thing. because there's always something they add that has boobs or butts or tentacles, and it's just, it's a video
game. I think the takeaway from this, at least for me, is basically... I think Blizzard has done a very good job at creating a whole bunch of different characters. It's a very diverse cast. Mm-hmm. I think there's kind of at least one character for everyone in this game. Mm-hmm. And I am afraid of the precedent that removing this victory pose sets. Yeah. And if it was Blizzard's choice, awesome. Because they definitely weren't, you know, forced into it. It might have been just they stepped up their timeline for removing that specific post. I don't know. Yeah. I think the Tracer victory pose is totally fine. All they maybe would have wanted to do, and I think I said this when I was streaming Overwatch with Dills and with Garrett the other day, if they just kind of, like, softened that line and didn't give her so much of a wedgie, it would be totally fine. It's mm-hmm. that she's basically just, like, naked with an orange butt.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, when you wear skin tight clothing, your butt is going to show, and you can tell from her, just her legs alone, like, she's wearing skin tight clothing. So if that's a choice the character made, then she must be comfortable with some portion of her butt showing. Mm-hmm. And again, like, this whole conversation feels weird because we're talking about a video game and a character with clothing, and it's like, I understand it can offend some people, and that's fine, but there's plenty of other, if you want to go down the rabbit hole, there's other things that Blizzard's done, not just in mm-hmm. Overwatch. Like, Blizzard's a pretty big offender when it comes to the pronounced butt. I mean, do you remember the loading screen for Heart of the Swarm? It was all butt.
Oh, right, Kerrigan butt.
Yeah. And then, you know, Nova Taranda, just launched.
When she's, like, when you're waiting, like, for a cue to pop in Heroes, she's literally naked. She stands sideways. She mm-hmm. has, like, her dress thing is, like, a front piece and a back piece. So when she stands sideways, like, that's just Taranda butt.
Yep.
That's it.
That is some purple butt. And
yes.
Like I said, like, Blizzard, they really like to sexualize their characters. And I know Overwatch is trying to do a little bit of everything, which is awesome. And I think it's just the way Blizzard creates their characters. They like to make their... And it's a cartoon, right? It's very cartoon-based. And with that, you kind of get to animate your characters, and that applies to every part of the body, right? And sometimes you have to show restraint. Like, I think, like, Heart of the Swarm loading screen, that was probably a bit too much. But, you know, and I think Nova launched, and that's the same exact thing. But, like Jack Dice and Jimmy in the chat room are saying, like, it's all subjective. So It's just that one forum post that kind of caught fire, which created all these this response, which felt very reactive. Like, it was just like two lines, like, yeah, even if at the end they were saying, like, this is something we were going to do anyways, they should have said that at the start rather than just saying, we don't want to offend anybody, so it's gone, you know. And I think they handled it right at the end and kind of explaining their choice, even if they made that up on the fly. Like, I trust Blizzard. I think that they were planning on taking it out because, as Jimmy says, the pose looks dumb. Like, it's it's weird. Nobody does that. The
over-the-shoulder pose is dumb, yeah.
Yeah, nobody does that. Unless you're a model and you've, like, practiced that for your entire life, and in which case, like, awesome.
Good
Tracer's
for you.
Not a model. Like, she's she shoots people. She kills people for a living. Defending.
And Jim was saying that he thinks I'm reaching, calling it a precedent, and yes, I think possibly precedent is the wrong word. Basically, I just don't want to see this happen, or see something happen where a video game developer is told what to do by a small vocal majority, and then they do that thing, and it's no longer the game that they want to make anymore. If you don't like it, don't play it.
Yeah, there's lots of other games out there, even by Blizzard, where they don't, like, sexualize characters, and yeah, you can certainly go play those. It's not, you don't have to play Overwatch, even though it looks like a lot of fun. I'm not bitter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good conversation. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about butts anymore. Can we not?
Are
talk
you
about
sure? But butts.
But I know butts are great. But you know what? Next week we're gonna have a whole other body part of controversy to talk about. So let's just
boobs.
Yeah. Oh, you can imagine. It just alternates every other week. It's boobs and butts.
Boobs and butts. Yeah. And boobs and butts.
At least every other week we get to. Well, no. Yeah. Let's. I hope 1 week we have where there's not something stupid. I mean, if you go on Polygon, you even see, like, it's every other article is something going on in the world of gaming where, like, just weird body parts are being shown. Like, Street Fighter V. Have you ever watched Street Fighter V, like, the new content they put out?
No.
It's just ridiculous. Like, half of it is, like, someone wearing a stupid hat, and the other one's just, like, how much boob can we show and keep a teen rating? Like, I don't know. It's dumb.
So on that note, we should remind you guys that we have game night coming up this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We also have a Discord server set up for you guys. So if you want to hang out with other TGI fans, you can do so. There are separate chat rooms that are exclusive for patrons. So if you want to head on over to patreon.com/thegamersin, you can help support us over there. I believe we are quite close to actually making game night a permanent thing again. We've been doing it kind of for the month of March as things kind of transition over, but it is our $100 an episode goal. So we're close. I think we were at high 80s last time I checked, I think.
Yeah, we're about 90-ish. So, like, yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you guys would like to support us, again, that is patreon.com/thegamersin. We'll probably still be playing some stuff on Thursday nights. We've kind of set the time aside. So, basically, having game night be for the patrons is almost like what we're trying to unlock. So, basically, having reserved spots for patrons is like, the next goal, essentially.
Yeah.
Game night in some form will happen, I'm sure. It just, you know, may or may not be streamed, or may or may not include anyone other than me and Ryan, and might just be us hanging out, chilling, and playing the games. And, you know, if you want to kind of vote on the games and have the whole game night experience, then that is what we're aiming for in the month of April. So, like I said, we are quite close to keeping game night the same way it has been. So if you have enjoyed it, then patreon.com/thegamersin. We got some listener feedback this week. We got an email from Webby. Ryan, do you want to go ahead and read it?
Yeah, first of all, Webby is doing an amazing job. someone has to come in here and kind of like give Webby a week off, because this guy's doing a fantastic job. He's writing in about Dark Souls 3, which I know both of us probably not very interested in, but here's what he has to say. Dark Souls 3 released in a couple weeks, and I've gone back to playing Dark Souls 2. The difficulty definitely ramped up in this one over the previous titles. I was just wondering if either of you will be trying DS3, and if so, how prepared are you for a crazy hard slash frustrating experience? Good frustrating, though, as if that's a thing that exists. So let's touch on that before we get his closing paragraph, because I have a feeling we're going to be more interested in that. We are both not really into Dark Souls. Like, that whole punishing gameplay, while some people adore that high they get when they, for the 100th time, finally kill the thing, like, that's not very fun to me. Like, I don't know.
I believe that we've had this conversation before, and it was basically my experience with Dark Souls that I didn't even get out of, like, the tutorial area, that it was like I finally got up a set of stairs that had, like, one skeleton and a rolling ball of stone death, and then I got out onto the balcony and saw, like, six archer skeletons, and I was just like, nope, F this, table flip, I'm out, and I've literally never gone back to a Dark Souls again. Mm-hmm. I like a challenging video game, but I find that I get too frustrated, and I don't have, like we mentioned earlier on the show, don't have a ton of time to spend on games now. And so when I do choose to sit down and play something for 4 or 5 hours, I don't want to be bashing my head up against that same skeleton. And I don't get the level of, I guess, reward. Like, I don't get those, like, happy fun feelings when I beat one enemy. Like,
yeah,
I think it's like the total opposite of the Dark Souls experience would probably be the experience I had with the Hyrule Warriors, where it's like you're one dude and you're killing like 50 things at a time. That to me is satisfying, when I'm just so powerful that I just go kablamo and then like explodes out in this big like AoE firestorm that kills everything, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the same way, and then like now with more limited time. Like a year ago, I played Bloodborne and got more into it for a couple reasons. First of all, the Dark Souls games look atrocious. Like, just, they do not look good. Like, they're not good looking games.
Not a fan.
They do, like, yeah. I don't know if I can sugarcoat that.
It's like
they just look so dark. They look like a...
They're dark. They're gray. It's a very specific art choice, I think. Their bad guys are very...
Just looks like a really... Lobby? An up-resed N64 game to me. Like, okay, that's a bit much. Maybe like an up-resed PS2 game. Like, just... It feels very limited in the graphic style, which, again, like, I know is pretty... subjective. Like, some people love it, some people don't. And I haven't actually looked a lot at Dark Souls 3, but I would assume because it's Xbox One, PS4 that they're targeting, it's going to look better. But that's why I latched on to Bloodborne, is that it had a really cool art style and looked really nice. And it was the first sort of stab at next-gen Dark Souls gameplay. And I put a good chunk of time into it, and I enjoyed it. But am I actively seeking out these, like, good, frustrating experiences? Not really. Maybe I'll take a look at it and see what it's like. I'll probably more opt for watching some streams of it, because I do appreciate watching other people go through hell, you know, while playing video games. But he finishes off in saying that Universe Sim has a Steam page, and ooh. I can't remember if we talked about this game. This is the first time seeing it.
Yeah.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah, we talked about it. It had its own its own website, and it was a little bit kind of confusing about like when it was coming out and how you pre-ordered it. It was kind of like Kickstarter-esque within their own website. Okay. So now they have a Steam page, and I'm actually going to throw it into the chat room. So yeah, this, we totally, unless it was an episode that you weren't on, I'm sure you were. It was like probably like 6 weeks ago or so.
Oh, was it when James was on? Anyways, I looked at the video.
Might have been.
I looked at the video, and it looks really neat. Like, kind of like an indie sim game that sort of focuses on the universe as a simulator, but not like crazy difficult.
What gave it away? Universe Sim?
Well, the video that I watched pretty much gave it away, because it's interesting. It starts like, okay, here's your little planet, and I have not played the game, so I don't know whether how the gameplay progression works, but it looks like it starts on Earth. You exhaust those resources to get space travel, and then you sort of start to colonize other planets. And it looks really neat. It looks like there's a demo available, so I'm going to try that out before next week. But you can, I think you get early, they're in alpha right now, mm-hmm. and you can play it. I don't know how much is there. I literally just went to the Steam page, watched the video, and it looks like a really cool, like, sit down, play for a couple hours type sim game, which we haven't had in a very long time, you know? And it looks unique. I hope it plays like I want it to play. Like, I kind of look at this and I got a goddess feel, like a goddess feel, just a little bit.
I can kind of see that, but at the same time, not. Mm-hmm. Like, this reminds me a lot of, like, SimCity. And it almost seems like all the super cool stuff that I wanted out of SimCity, but then with, like, an extra added strategy kind of thing to it, because you can eventually, like you said, you leave the planet, you start to explore, and then there's all kinds of alien stuff. Like, I'm almost getting, like, a Spore vibe out of this.
Yeah. It's actually, like, right at the bottom says, like, you could play Spore right now. It's kind of like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I dig the sort of zoomed out view where you can kind of see the whole planet all at once. Like, it, mm-hmm. it really shrinks down what you're looking at, and I wonder if that's how they'll sort of manage you managing the universe. Like, mm-hmm. you have little, like, your planets are cities in what would be a country you're managing. It's sort of like Civ, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting, and it looks really neat. Right now in early access, I'm going to try the demo, because I looked on the website. I think, like, the earliest package you could buy to play right now was like $40.
Yeah. And I mean, the screenshots from this game, and they're still alpha, like, it looks really cool.
Yeah,
personally, I love the way that they've done water. I don't know what it is, but, like, it actually looks like when you get right down at the, like, water type level, like, it looks amazing. It looks like I'm looking at a beach.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of an old Peter Molyneux game, like Black and White 2. Like, that's sort of what it reminds me of, like, when you're kind of looking a little closer. But when you zoom out, it feels very, like, unique. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's a game that sort of reminds me of it, but it just looks really cool.
I played one, actually, that had a visual style that was kind of like this, and I'm totally blanking on the name right now. It was, like, 2 or 3 years ago, and you were, like, the shaman tribe sort of thing, and you could control, like, elements. So you had to, like,
Reyes?
No.
It was more 2D. I don't
know. It was like there was a puzzle you had to solve, and you had to, like, put the water on the lava to make rock and
it's a Ubisoft game. From Dust?
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Exactly. This reminds me of From Dust as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man, now I want to go back and play that game, because that was one I think I got stuck on, like, the very last puzzle, and then I never actually finished it, and now I want to go do it again. Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to play Universe Sim and From Dust next week.
Perfect. And I have to go play City Skylines. I might do that after the show, actually.
Oh, that's such a good game.
Yeah. all right, so I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. Thank you very much to Webby for sending that info into us. We are definitely going to check out Universe Sim. If you would like to, what am I even saying? Okay, there we go. Sorry. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amoeb.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about Buttgate, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.